So we finished up the series of messages last week about community, and I just keep wanting to talk about community. It's not what I'm preaching on today, but I think it's a topic that we still need to continue to talk about. And I notice a few of you moved in your spots, in your seats, and that's a good thing. Here, I want to challenge you guys. Maybe next Sabbath you can find somebody you've never sat by before, or find somebody who looks like they're sitting by themselves, and sit by them. I think that would be a good thing to do, and continue to grow in this idea of community. I think that's a fantastic idea. So this Sabbath, we're beginning a new series of messages called Can You Hear Me Now? Can You Hear Me Now? And the idea of this series of messages is that the Old Testament is still relevant in our lives today. And so we want to take a look at some Old Testament passages of Scripture, some select good old Testament passages, and let's talk about how they're relevant to our needs and to our problems today. So we're beginning the series, Can You Hear Me Now? Because God is still speaking to us. You remember the old Verizon commercials, Can You Hear Me Now? Good. Can you hear me? Well, that's the idea. The Lord is still speaking to us. Are we listening is the question. Are we allowing for His Word? Are we allowing for His great word to speak to our needs and to our problems today? So you all remember that movie, The Lion King? And you remember that scene in the movie, Hakuna Matata? What a wonderful phrase, Hakuna Matata. And it actually doesn't mean no worries. They said means no worries. It actually doesn't mean no worries. It means no problems. It's Swahili. It means Hakuna Matata. It means no problem. Kind of like if you ever go to Jamaica and they say, no problem, man. No problem. No problem. Hakuna Wasi Wasi means no worries. But the idea is still true. The idea that you don't have cares and you're happy. You want to be happy. That's the whole overarching concept. We want to be happy. Hakuna Matata. No problems. No worries. We want to be happy. And the world wants to be happy. There was a song by Pharrell Williams that came out in 2013 called Happy. Y'all remember that song? If you don't know what this song is, you've probably been in a coma. Because this song it was number one in 2014. It was number one in the USA. It was number one in the UK, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, and 19 other countries it hit number one at. And it was one of the number one downloaded songs, it had a lot of millions of YouTube views. It was a very popular song, Happy, and it's just a happy song. It was an upbeat song, a very happy song, and talked about just being happy. Clap along, clap your hands, and just an upbeat. And the thing is, people want to be happy. That is what people are wanting. In the Times Magazine, it was about 75% of people are unhappy with their jobs. The statistic is not quite 75%, but it was almost right around there. 75% of people were unhappy with their jobs. And another research team said most people are unhappy with their lives. And I don't know if that statistic is necessarily true, but that's a lot of unhappy people. People want to be happy. And so songs like, of course, Happy connect with them. They want that happiness. They want to feel happy. People's idea of happy, what makes you happy? Well, people, it depends on where you come from, your perspective. For some people, it's you know, that car would make me happy. If I had that automobile and not this old junker that's falling apart on me, that would make me happy. Or perhaps if I had that job and I made that amount of money instead of what I'm making now, that would make me happy. That's what I need. That would really make me happy. Or if I had that wife, or if I had that husband, that would make me happy. Or for some people, if I didn't have that wife, or if I didn't have that husband, that would make me happy. Of course, it's all about perspective. George Carlin, a comedian, once said, if 4 out of 5 people suffer from diarrhea, does that mean one enjoys it? Probably not. There's nothing like the joy of a kid when you give them, when they see a PlayStation box, just the happy look on their face, only to find out that it had socks in it, right? Well, they're not happy after that. In the birth of this nation, you know this saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. These among them, these are life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of what? Happiness. So we have this, even with the beginning of the founding of our nation, we have this need, this drive to want to be happy. We want to be happy, but what you find out is many are pursuing, but they're not getting happiness. Because why? The pursuit of happiness does not make you happy. Rather, happiness is a byproduct of what I believe is a different kind of pursuit, the kind of pursuit that I want to talk about this morning. And God has something to say about happiness, and about what makes us happy. Psalms chapter 1 describes the happy, righteous person, and also describes the unrighteous, we'll say the unhappy person. He describes these two kinds of individuals, the happy and the unhappy. So take a look at the happy person in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who follow who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Oh, the joys. That word in your Bible might say blessed. Blessed are those. That word blessed is actually, it means happy. Happy are those. And it's a plural word in the Hebrew. It means very happy. Oh, the joys. Very happy are those individuals. Very happy are those ones. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have happy lives. And not that we're not going to go through problems or circumstances, not that we're not going to have moments of unhappiness, but here in Psalms chapter 1, he says, these people are happy. Happy are these ones. Very happy are these individuals. I believe churches should be full of happy people. People that have relationships with the Lord, we should be happy about those relationships. Oh, the joy of the Lord, the joy down in our hearts. We should be happy about serving the Lord. I remember it was in a movie I saw just recently. This off the top of my head, it was a baseball movie. It was Dennis Quaid. Do y'all know what movie I'm talking about? Not Field of Dreams. Dennis Quaid, the actor, he was from Texas. Y'all should know this movie. He's from Texas, and he was a baseball teacher. He taught baseball. He taught math, but he also taught, or was it science? He taught science, but he also taught baseball. He coached baseball for this team in Texas, and he went on. What was it? No, it wasn't Field of Dreams, guys. What was it? Somebody, anybody. The Rookie! That's it! The Rookie! The Rookie. Now I don't even know where I was going with that. My goodness, I worked so hard just to figure out what that movie was. I don't even know where I was going with all of that. All right, I believe the church should be happy, full of happy people. I believe the joy of the Lord down in our hearts, we should have the happiness. I'm sorry, guys, I don't even know where I was headed with that. Happiness begins, of course, in this passage. If the one who has this joy of the Lord, it begins with a negative statement. It talks about don't do this. Why does it begin with a negative statement? Well, happiness begins, of course, by not ending up in the mess to begin with. Not getting into trouble. What's the best way to stay out of debt? To not get into debt to begin with, right? The best way to be debt-free is to not incur debt in your life. Here we begin with the advice from the Lord. Happy are these who do not do this, who avoid this. And we begin with a negative statement here, but let's see what he's talking about. Happy are they who do not follow the advice of the wicked. So we're going to be happy if we follow the advice, bad advice, right? Of course not. It says no. Do not follow that bad advice. Do not, you know, if somebody is saying to go get into trouble, don't follow that bad advice. If somebody is saying to go steal that car, that's bad advice. Don't follow that bad advice. That's not going to end up, You're not going to end up with a happy life. If somebody is encouraging you to lie to the IRS, that's bad advice. That's not going to lead you to a happy life. Happy are those that don't listen to the bad advice. I've been preaching about, you know, show me your friends, and I'll show you what kind of life choices you make, right? That's what we've been preaching about. Happy are those who do not stand around with the sinners. When I see a happy individual, it's probably not one who's standing around with the sinners, one who's not choosing to be a part of that kind of lifestyle. Happy are ones who do not stand around with the sinners. Our closest friends should not, and I repeat this from previous messages, our closest friends, the roots who encourage us, who strengthen us, need to be the believers, need to be the church. Those need to be those who understand what the Word of God is teaching. Those are the ones that are going to encourage you and strengthen you. Happy are those that are hanging out with those kinds of people. And then I talked about the branches, being able to reach out. If we have the deep, good roots, then we're able to reach out to the sinners, and that's what the Bible wants us to do, to be able to reach out to the lost. Dennis earlier was talking about during prayer time, talking about, think about one person to pray for that needs to know Jesus, that needs to be what we're doing, engaging the lost as a church. But it begins with having good roots, a good foundation, beginning with God's Word and being with those individuals that are encouraging you in the faith, not tearing down the faith, not destroying the faith or leading you from the faith, but encouraging you and building you up in your faith. Happier are those who do not hang around with sinners or who join in with the mockers. Mocking is not a good thing. The Bible here very plainly tells us mocking is not a positive thing, not a good thing. God doesn't like it. If you're somebody that's joining in and mocking others, you need to check yourself and check your heart. It's not something the Lord wants us to be involved in. Check who you're trying to impress. Who am I trying to look good for that I'm joining in with mocking others? Who am I trying to look good for? Don't join in with those that are saying things like, why does she wear that? Or why does he wear that? Don't join with those that are saying, why does that guy drive that? Don't join in with those that say, that person can't sing. Have you heard him sing? Have you heard her sing? Don't join in with those individuals that are mocking others. Don't join in with those that are saying, that boy can't play basketball. Have you seen him shoot the hoops? He misses every time. Don't join in with those guys. Don't join in with the mocking. It might be fun and it might look good to impress somebody else, but don't join in with the mockers. Don't join in with those that say, his voice sounds funny. It sounds too nasally or it sounds weird. Don't join in with those. Guess what? Those guys go on to make a fortune in the music industry, just telling you. And on YouTube, too. Those guys are banking on YouTube just because of how funny their voices sound. But don't join in with those. It's bullying is what it is. And God doesn't want us to bully. Check your heart. It's like, Jesus loves you. Shove. Jesus loves you. Let me hit you. That's not what God wants us to do, and it's not in line with God's word. Mocking others is a form of bullying, and God doesn't want us to do it. And what does it say about this individual who does not join in with the sinners, who does not join in with the mockers, who does not take the bad advice? It says in verse 3, it says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That sounds like a happy life right there. Blessed, the individual that's blessed, the individual that's full of the joy of the Lord, the individual that is happy, is one who is planted, one who is emotionally and spiritually grounded and stable, one who is spiritually fruitful, according to the scripture here in Psalm chapter 1. This is an individual who is spiritually deepened, spiritually rooted, spiritually fruited, who is one who is emotionally stable, emotionally grounded. We could go on and on about what is normal when it comes to having emotions, what is normal when it comes to a spiritual life. I don't think it's about what is normal, but it's about being grounded. It's about being rooted. It's about when the troubles come your way, you can't be moved because you're in God's Word and you know who you're in touch with. It's about being stable and rooted. God is blessing here. God's blessing is this happy individual, this prosper, this fruitful, this planted person. That is the blessing of the Lord here. The happiest men I know, they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. The happiest women I know, they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. These are the individuals that are whistling a hymnal as they're walking along, singing a song that they heard on the radio. They have the joy of the Lord in their heart. There's somebody that seems to bounce as they walk because of the joy of the Lord that's in their heart. They are happy. They are happy. They are fruitful spiritually, planted along the riverbanks. They are happy. When you call someone up for emotional stability, who are you calling up and why are they emotionally stable? Because they are somebody that has been grounded and rooted in God's Word. If I need somebody to encourage me emotionally, I'm calling up someone who is grounded. Not someone who's emotionally left and right themselves, but somebody who's grounded, who's able to give me encouragement emotionally. If I'm calling up someone for spiritual advice, for wisdom, it's somebody who is grounded, somebody who is rooted. Not someone who makes a decision and turns and makes another decision every single week, but no, somebody that's been rooted because they're grounded in God's Word. That's the individual that I'm calling up. I don't know about you. When I need wisdom, I need somebody who's been rooted in their life, grounded in the Word of God. We get the picture here of a happy person, of a happy individual. But there's another picture that God paints. Look at verse 4. This is the unhappy person, a.k.a. also known as the wicked person. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. And again, to the idea of community. No place among the godly. Those are not your best friends. Your best friends, the people, the core of your relationships, need to be believers who you're reaching out to, who you're branching out to. Those are the sinners. Sinners have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. They're like worthless chaff. Chaff, it is the worthless part. It is the part that is sifted out. It's the part they would use as kind of a basket that would sift it, and what they would be left with, they would let the wind blow it away. It was not good for anything but to just let the wind blow it away. It was worthless. Why? In our case here, because he or she lacks spiritual value. Lacks spiritual worth. The value, of course, is in who is in Jesus Christ. Things that you value, what do? You keep it. Things you value, you keep. If your computer is worth something, you want to keep that computer. If your car, if you have one of those old vintage cars like Brother Lawson used to have years ago that he talks about, an old vintage car, you hang on to it because it's worth something to you, and it might be worth something as well in terms of monetary. If it's artwork from your kids, you keep it because it has value to you. It's worth something to you. If you have that baseball card that's from Babe Ruth or something signed by Babe Ruth, that thing has not only a value to you, but it has some significant monetary value as well. You keep it because it has value. I think about that from the Sandlot movie where those kids and that baseball that was signed by Babe Ruth and how valuable that was to the dad in that movie. It's valuable to you. It's valuable in not only monetary, but also valuable to you. Without Christ, we lack value. No matter what you make, no matter how much you work for, no matter what kind of salary you're getting on your job, without Christ, you lack the value to our Heavenly Father. But with Christ, you're instantly valuable, no matter what you make. You could be making a six-figure income, but without Christ, you lack the value. With Christ, you're instantly valuable to Him. Instantly, you have the value. Instantly, you are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. Instantly, you have that forgiveness. Not because of what you have done, not because of how awesome you are, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and in you. And the wind begins to blow. And the circumstances of life begin to come. And they blow that shaft one way and they blow it another. Circumstances in your life come and blow you one way or the other. New fads come and they blow you one way or the other. And they begin to shape your thinking. Thinking about fads today. What are some fads today? I mentioned in class today something about fidget spinners. That was a popular fad about 10 years ago. But what are some fads? What do you guys think? What are some fads today that are pretty popular with our younger people? What do you guys think? Squishies? What's a squishy? I don't even know. A toy with foam that you squeeze and it slow rises. You guys ever heard of this? A squishy? I got to look this up. I'll Google it after church. What else? What is a fad today? What is a fad that blows us one way or the other? Yes. What is it? Slime. Is that still popular? Again? It used to be popular when I was a kid. It's popular again. Maria, what? Oh, that's a squishy. Show it to me after church. I'd be interested in seeing what a squishy is. What else? What is a popular fad today with our culture? iPhones. iPhones are the thing when it comes to technology. iPhones are very popular with our teens. What else? Yes, the Switch. Nintendo Switch. That's very popular. Is that what you're talking about, the Nintendo Switch? Or color switch? Oh, okay. Item on a smartphone. Okay. Yes. Play-Doh. Is that popular still? That's popular with our kids today? Well, I wrote some down. Some of the fads that are, you know, blowing us one way or the other. Chick-fil-A has become very popular. It's actually more popular than Starbucks now, which is still very popular with our younger people. It's Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, athletic clothes. That one surprised me. Athletic clothes have become very popular. You think of how clothing changes and style changes, athletic clothes. Snapchat is one of the most popular social media things. You all like Snapchat? Yeah, Snapchat's cool. Along with that, of course, the iPhone, selfies. Selfies are still very popular. Jogger pants now are very popular. You guys know jogger pants are popular now? Repainted eyebrows. You ever seen those repainted eyebrows? That's become very popular. Acronyms, using acronyms, especially because of texting, is very popular. Nerdism has become a very popular thing. Memes, of course, continue. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why, but it's become. I guess I'm popular now. I've always been a nerd my whole life, and of course, memes have always been very. So we have these things. Getting back to the scripture here, we have these things. We get blown one direction. We get blown the other. What happens here to those that are lacking Christ? None of these things in themselves has any significance or value, but they're popular. And so we get shifted one direction and shifted another direction. But what happens to those lacking Christ? They lack value regardless of any of those things. They lack value and eternal value. They lack spiritual value. They lack kingdom value. And what does the Bible say here? For those that are like chaff, those that are scattered by the wind, blown here and there, it says they will be condemned at the time of judgment. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how popular those things are. It doesn't matter how fun they are. But without Christ in your heart, you lack the value. And guess what? There is judgment. There is condemnation to those that do not have Jesus Christ. And that should worry. That should worry us. That should worry those individuals. That should make them very unhappy and uneasy to know that there is eternal judgment without Jesus Christ. That should make us very unhappy and very uneasy for those that don't have Jesus in their hearts. We should be praying for them every single day that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be unhappy about that. Of course, life comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His Spirit comes peace, and through His Spirit comes joy. The value comes through Jesus. Knowing Jesus is what gives you spiritual significance and value. I once lacked peace in my heart when I was a younger person, even as a believer, and I believed in the Lord Jesus, but I lacked peace. And until God filled my heart, there was a day that I remember it clearly, when I sought the Lord for it, and God filled my heart with peace and with joy, and what a tremendous difference that made. Something that only God could give. And yes, I continue to have down days, and yes, I continue to sometimes be sad, and sometimes even, you know, I continue to suffer from those human emotions, but the moment I look to the Lord restores my peace, and He restores my joy. We need to look to the Lord to be our strength. You might be saying, I am a believer already, and I want happiness, but I seem to lack it. The Bible wants you to be happy, and there is an answer. The Bible gives us the answer, and you might like the answer, and some of you might not like the answer, but here is the prescription for happiness. Look at verse 2. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. His delight is where? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God. And he does what with it? He meditates on it day and night. The blessed, happy, joyful person, this person full of the joy of the Lord, this happy individual, what does he do? What does she do? They delight in God's Word. Can you say that? Can you say, I love the Bible? Can you say that? Honestly say that to yourself. I love reading the Bible. It's such a joy for me to read the Word of God. Perhaps some of you are ashamed of it. Perhaps some of you, maybe, and I hope not, but maybe you're joining with the mockers who are mocking those that love the Bible or mocking those that carry the Bible with them. When I was in high school, I was struggling. I was struggling with my grades, and I was struggling with feeling down and sad and struggling with my parents and the relationship that they were having. And so what did I do? I decided to turn to the Bible. And I would read it. I would read it when I was skipping school. I would read it. Kind of, you think of like an oxymoron almost, you know, in the time that I'm struggling and doing the wrong thing. Here I'm turning to the Word of God. But I began to fall in love with the Word of God because it was the Word of God that was giving me strength and keeping me grounded when nothing else could, when nothing else would. It was the Word of God that was keeping me strong. We are to be in it, he says, day and night. Not just a one-time thing, not just to open your Bible and I'm good for the rest of the week or good for the rest of the month, but daily Bible reading. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, friends, family, get one. Get one. Go online. Google it. Bible reading plan. You need a plan that keeps you in God's Word every single day. And you need to not just be reading it, but you need to be loving it. You need to be enjoying reading the Word. Find whatever helps you to enjoy reading the Word and fall in love with the Word of God. That is what leads to a happy life. That is the prescription for happiness right there. This is the key, and so many avoid it. So many avoid this very key to happiness found in the Bible itself, and that is God's Word. And I want to just show you how important this is to the psalmist. Look, flip over to Psalm 119 with me. And let's begin to see just how important the Word of God is to the writer of the psalm here. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. That word blessed again, happy. Happy are those who walk according to the law of the Lord. They love the Word of God. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep His testimony. Happy. Happy are those that keep His testimony, who seek Him with all their hearts. They also do no wrong. Verse 3, they walk in His ways. They walk in his ways. They do no wrong. This is to compromise. They do not compromise with evil. Why? Because they're grounded in the word of God. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. The author of the psalm here, he wanted to keep God's word diligently. Another version says carefully, carefully. Very careful to honor the word of God. It was so important to the psalmist here. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were established. This is talking about consistent action. Consistently. Lord, establish me in your word to keep, he says, your statutes. How important was it to the psalmist here that he would be established in the word of God, consistently following the word of God. Verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I have my focus on all your commandments. We should not be ashamed of the word of God. The psalmist here loved the word. The word was so important. He wanted to be focused on the word, not ashamed of the word. Look at verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart. A righteous heart, a happy heart. When I have learned your righteous judgments. The judgments were from the word. He's talking, in every one of these verses, he's talking about God's word. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Do not completely abandon me. He wanted to keep his statutes, and he knew that that would keep him in a relationship with the Lord. When you need wisdom, when you need guidance, when you need strength, when you need counsel, it is found in the word of God. We see the importance of the word of God. We see how the psalmist valued the word of God, how important it needs to be to our own lives, that we not be ashamed of it, but that we learn to fall in love with it, and we want to have very happy lives. Is there some practical advice for us regarding God's word? Yes, there is. There are 8 things that I want you to see that you can do with God's word. And if you're taking notes here this morning, these are 8 things that I would encourage you to write down. These are powerful. 8 things to do with God's word, found in verse 9, starting verse 9 of Psalm 119. He says, how shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. So number 1, do the word. Do the word. God gives us commands. He tells us to worship him. We are instructed to pray. We are to worship the Lord. And we need to be doing these things. Do the word. Just do what the word teaches you to do. See how the word commissions you and commands you, and then do it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is what love is. So key number 1 to happiness, do the word. Number 2, in verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Do not allow me to wander from your commandments. I think of the idea of seeking. Of course, seeking. Number 2, we're going to read the Bible. I think of the idea of seeking, and seeking can be done. You're seeking the Lord in prayer. You're seeking the Lord in worship. You're seeking the Lord. But another way to seek the Lord and to know who he is in a significant way is seeking him through his word. And I encourage you today, you need a Bible plan. If you don't have one, get one. You need to be reading the Bible. Number 2, read the Bible. Number 3, believe the word. Verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hidden in my heart. He believed it. He buried it into his heart because he believed it so much. He planted that seed deep because he believed it so much. Believe the word. Faith is believing God. Faith is also believing the word of God. Faith is trusting the word that God has given you, that God is faithful, that what he said he will do, that his promises are true, that his promises are yes and amen, that we can follow his word, and that God is faithful to his word. Believe the word. And when you believe the word, it shapes your actions, because if I believe it, then I'm going to live differently. Because I believe God is true and what he said is true, my actions will reflect what I believe. Why are we here on a Sabbath day? Because we believe what his word says about the Sabbath. It also affects your prayers, because when you pray and you believe God's word, then you're praying to a God who answers his word. who is faithful to his word. Number four, look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. So not only do you need a reading plan, but number four, study the Bible. Study the Bible. Our reading must be focused. Not just that we're reading for the sake of reading, but that we are digging into the meat of the word and not just having the milk of the word. That we are studying the word together. If you're not in class, if you're not in a Bible study, get in one. I encourage every one of you, if you can wake up early on a Sabbath morning, to be here for class, because we need to be studying the Bible together. If you're not a part of a Bible study with someone else, you need to be a part of a group that is studying the Bible together. You need to study the Bible. Sermons are good, but studying is what sharpens our thinking when it comes to God's Word. And study on your own too. If you don't have a concordance or Bible dictionary, or if you don't have the Bible app that has those, I would encourage you to get one. Study the Word. Study the Word. Number five. Look at verse 13. He says, with my lips I declare all the decrees of your mouth. So number five, talk about the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Not just enough to read it, not just enough to study it, but let's begin to talk about it. Talk about it at home. Talk about it with your children. Talk about it with your grandchildren. Talk about it with your friends and your neighbors. And sing about it at church. And make this an expression of your faith as you begin to talk about the Bible. The Bible is true. The Bible is alive. The Bible is real to me. And you begin to discuss the Word as an expression of your own faith. Number six, rejoice in the Word. Look at verse 14. He says, I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. Rejoice in the Word. We need to love it. We need to own it. We need to sing about it. We need to enjoy the Word. You need to love, fall in love with the Word of God and enjoy it. Number seven, meditate on the Scripture. Look at verse 15. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and keep my eyes on your ways. Now, I'm not talking about Eastern meditation where you empty your mind. Rather, this is where you are thinking about the Scripture, where you're saying it over and over again, where you are memorizing the Scripture. You're saying it to memorize it. This is meditate on the Scripture. You're quoting it. When you're going through hard times, you're quoting it. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You are meditating on the Word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you begin to meditate on the Word, especially when you need it the most. And number eight, do not neglect the Bible. He says in verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. He loves the Word. He loves the Word, but he says, I will not forget your Word. Do not neglect the Bible. Do not forget what you've learned about it, and do not forget to learn it. Do not forget to be in the Bible. And above all, I would say, don't join in with those that are mocking those that are in the Word of God. Back to what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1. Do not join in with the mockers, but rather fall in love with the Word of God. The psalmist shows us a picture of a happy person as well as an unhappy person. And friends, I want to be in the happy camp. I want to be a part of those happy Christians. Happy is the person who delights in the Word of God. Happy is the individual that delights in the law of the Lord. And what he meditates on it, how often? Just once a month? Day and night. Constantly in the Word, in the Word. Above all, happy is the one whose value is in Jesus Christ, because it's through Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal destruction. We need eternal life, and only comes through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And happy are those who have made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I encourage you, make the decision. Make this decision. I am going to make the Word a daily part of my life. I'm going to love the Word. I'm going to love God's Word. You do that, you're on the path to happiness. Amen.